We ran through the Gemara yesterday on Manas Chesed and Beis. Please come in. Okay. So we learned the Gemara yesterday, Lamed Ches Amid Beis, where the Gemara first quotes about five lines from the top, that there's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yechon. The Rav says that our cooked vegetables are said very fair. Dom Rav Yechon seems to disagree. He's quoted as saying that they say Shachol Nibidvara. So Rav Chisda says, I don't think there's a machlokes. It all depends. If it's Shtani Ligriyusa, then it's Shachol Nibidvara, and if it's Shtani Lamalyusa, then it's Bar Piyadom. That's what Rav Chisda says. Then we had Dorosh Rav Nachman, starting from the middle of the Amud. Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Shmuel. He says, he heard from Shmuel, he said, Bar Piyadom. He heard the name Rav Yechon say Shachol, and he leaves it like that, that it's a machlokes. So Tosis points out, this Tosis Mashkachas, well, the question, how do we pass them? They say, according to the first version, according to Rav Chisda's version, there never was a machlokes. Everybody said the same thing. It depends whether Shtani Legriusa, Shtani Lemalyusa. So that's how Tosis passes. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Whenever it's Shtani Legriusa, then it becomes Shahakum. Whenever Shtani Lemalyusa, it becomes Bar Pi Adom. It started off as Shahakum. If you would eat raw potatoes, it would be Shahakum. Shtani Lemalyusa becomes Bar Pi Adom. Oh, let's say you have something, carrots. It's not Ishtani Ligriyusa. It's not Ishtani Lemayusa. It's not Ishtani Lemayusa when you cook the carrots. In America, people enjoy raw carrots. You can't say it's Ishtani Ligriyusa. So then we would assume that you still say Bar Pri Hadoma. There's nothing abnormal about eating cooked carrots. You would say Bar Pri Hadoma. The exception would be, we had on Kimcha Dechiti on Lamed Vav and Aleph. Here the Gemara talks either about cooking, Bishul is Ishtani, or about Sholuk. Sholuk means a lot of Bishul or little Bishul. Machlekes did only go in Rashi and Tosfos. Or Maliach Kiraseach, the bottom Tosfos, or Kovish Kimavushal. All four. Bishul, Sholuk, Mavushal, and Sholuk, and Kovish Kimavushal, and Maliach Kiraseach. In all four cases, it's an issue of Ishtani. And the Gemara before had another form of Ishtani if you grind it up. If you grind up the food, that's also an issue of Ishtani. So what do you do if you have a case? Akimcha dechiti. So Tosfos says on Lamed Vav and Rav, we learned already. If you eat flour, regular flour from a sack, that's shahakol nimidvar, that's shalak derot, that's not normal. If you have fancy kimcha dechiti, in other words, toasted kernels of grain, that taste delicious the way they are. You say Bar Pri Adoma, toasted kernels are great. Then you grind it up and it tastes also good, but it's not a Ishtani Lemalyusa, it's not a Ishtani Ligriyusa. It didn't make it better, it didn't make it worse. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So one opinion was that you say Bar Pri Adoma, Kimcha Dechiti. We don't paskin like that. We paskin Kimcha Dechiti, say Shaka. Why? So the Gemara says because it is Ishtani, and Isle Luy Achrina. You could really do something top notch with this. When you grind it up and you made the flour out of it, good, it tastes good the way it is, but you can really move on to make cake or cookies or challahs out of this. And you didn't, so that's the equivalent for the equivalent of Ishtani Ligriyusa. It's Ishtani because you ground it up. It's not Lamayusa, it's not Ligriyusa. So she really should retain its original bracha like carrots. If you cook the carrots or you dice the carrots, it should be Bar Pri Hadam, it should retain the bracha. It's not Ligriyusa, but because it's Lilu Yachrina, so that's why we have it in against the Kimcha Dechiti, so that's why we pass Kandera Shahakal Nidavar. The Gemara assumed that Ishtani, this whole Sugi of Ishtani, is not only being geared to Brochas. We assume called the Tikkun Rabban came there, I said Tikkun, if you would have a Matzah, that would be Ishtani. If you would have a Mara, that would be Ishtani, it wouldn't be Yotze. So that's where the Gemara was bringing Rayas. Rav Chisda, who was the second one who spoke, was Rav Nachman. First one was Rav Chisda, he thinks Vani Yoimed is no machlek. Second one, Rav Nachman thought that it is a machlekes, and he says Vani Yoimed machlekes, Ishnei thinks a machlekes satanayim. Which machlekes satanayim? Whether he yotz in Baraka Kamavushal. A matzah mubushal is how you yotz. What has it got to do? We're talking about brachas. The answer is called the Tikkun Rabbanon came the Raisi Tikkun. We're looking for Dinim Deraisa when Ishtani causes it to be considered as if it would be a Panim Chadosh, the Bawalakan, it's a synthetic Maichel. So that's by the matzah muvashela. So that the Gemara has by the morer. The Mishnah says on Lamites Msochim, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Psochim that you eat it with five different vegetables, only if it's raw. Lo kvushim, lo shlukim, lo muvasholim. So the Gemara said that muvushol, you're not yotze, and kavish, you're not yotze because kavish can muvushol. It's an ishtani. So the Gemara says, maybe it's a different reason why. Maybe you're not Yotze because being a Tamar Valeka. But the Gemara thought, if there would be a concept of Ishtani by the Din Derabon, it would be based on the Din of Ishtani. Kein Deraisa Tikkun, based on the Din of Ishtani by Deraisa. So let's say if you want to eat horseradish. Ashayla, well, horseradish is from the Minim of Mora. If one should assume, for many generations, many Jews ate horseradish. So if one should assume that horseradish is the right min, so what if he grind it up? So shouldn't that be Ishtani if he put together the two Gemara? So our Gemara says on Lama Chesam Beis that if you have Mora that's Ishtani, and Ishtani Ligriusa, if it's Ishtani Ligriusa, and you say Parim Chadosh is Bolakan, so it's considered a synthetic Michael, it's not considered a Minamor anymore. The Gemara before said that grinding up is also considered Ishtani, not only cooking. So not only should I say, so let's say the Mishnah says, Msochim, that Kvushim, and Shlukim, and Bushalam, and Ogut. So the Gemara thinks that maybe it's because of being a Tamar of Aleka. But initially the Gemara thought maybe it's the din by brachas is kein deraisa tikkun, the din on the level of deraisa is negate to these vegetables, that whenever it's ishtani, it's a synthetic michael. So what if you have ground up horseradish? So some said that you're not yotze. Some achronim said you're not yotze with ground up horseradish, you have to eat it while it's in a chunk because it's ishtani. Others tiny, what do you mean? It's ishtani limal yusa. Which meshugan eats horseradish the way it is? Adarab, if you eat horseradish the way it is, you should say Sha'akal, it shouldn't be Bar Pri Hadoma. It should be Shaloka Derech Achilasa. We should fall into the topic that we discussed the other day. If you eat Chazer Macholos Hasur Shaloka Derech Achilasa, so the Gemara says it's Mutam and Atara. Shaila, whether there's an Issa Derabon, but there's no Issa Deraisa. And the Mishnah Melech raised the question, what if you eat Advar Mitzvah, you eat Matzah Mar Shaloka Derech Achilasa? Should you say that just like Shaloka Derech Achilasa doesn't count as Achila on the level of the rice menegeh to macholas asuris, maybe shouldn't count as achila on the level of the rice menegeh to mitzvahs, and maybe as far that you're not yotze if you eat the horseradish while it's intact, you're only yotze if you grind it up. So there were different opinions. Some gedolim in Europe held, if it's ground up, you're not yotze because it's ishtani, you have to eat the davke intact. Another said, no, that's ishtani lemal yusa, that's not ishtani legri yusa. If anything, you should say, if you eat it while it's one chunk, you're not yotze because you're shloka derech achilasa. Want to be choshish for both shittas. So you're not yotze, not while it's intact, not while it's grind up. Others say the horseradish is not from the Mishnah lists off five vegetables. So the Shai and the Gemara seems to say clearly there in Sochem that they're all leafy vegetables. That's why it's the Pashta says that horseradish is not one of them. That's very questionable. Well, the horseradish is one of the chameshas amin. Because horseradish has a sharp flavor, it doesn't really have a bitter flavor. The two different sensations, sharp lechud and bitter lechud. Anyway, that's what we're up to in the Gemara. So how do we paskan halacha lemaisa here? So Tosis paskan is like the first one, like Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda made peace between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan bar Ani, that it depends, ishtani lemaisa, ishtani lemaisa. So that's the opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And then there's a question, Tosis raises the question, what about Yayim Mabushal? The Gemara says in Bava Basra that if I have a winery upstairs and you live downstairs, you're not allowed to open a bakery because the heat from the bakery is going to spoil the wine, it's going to ruin the wine. So you see from the Gemara that Yayin Mevushal is Garua from Yayin She'ena Mevushal. Yayin Mevushal is considered Ishtani Ligriyusa. So maybe one should say Asvara that Bar Priyagotan only makes sense on Yayin Chai. If you have Yayin Mevushal, it should be Shahakal Nimadvar. It should lose its original identity. So Taisus and Arbit Psochim quotes that in the name of Rashi, the Yayin Mevushal the Shahakal. Here Tosis laughs at that. Tosis there also. Tosis then in the end of Psochim rejects that opinion. So Tosis says, "Tamzem v'varchem nami al Yayin Mevushal bar piagom shkal kachu tov achar bishin." Come on, quote it. We can't. The layman can't taste the difference. The mumchim can taste the difference. The Yayin Mevushal is garua from Yayin Chai. So Rashi holds, even though only the mumchim can tell the difference, even though it's just a slight griusa, so Rashi holds that that's enough to be called ishtani legriusa. And Tosis says not so. We mentioned that the kosher glover has a tshuva in the sefer, and maybe carbonated wine, what do you call it? Champagne. Maybe champagne is considered ishtani legriusa because they put in bubbles. Then he came to the conclusion that they charge more money. So it's ishtani legriusa. Why should it be ishtani legriusa? Or Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has the tshuva of Oprachid Yisayim brandy on cognac. Brandy cognac is regular wine that they distilled. They heated it till the alcohol evaporated. The alcohol evaporates at 50 degrees centigrade, and the wine Chabot probably evaporates at 100 degrees. So when they cook it, half of the boiling point, so only the alcohol will evaporate, and then they condense it later on. So if you distill wine, you get cognac and you get brandy. So many people think that you say shakal al cognac and brandy. So Rabbi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. He quotes Rabbi Yanke Femden and others. He says, no, it's bar pri agofen. It's a ishtani limal yusuf. It's ishtani. It has a totally different flavor. It's only the alcohol content. You left all the wine behind. But he thinks that that's called ishtani limal yusuf. So that should be, he says, it should be good for kiddush and so on.
You mentioned the sheaf earlier that
anything that undergoes dissolution is coming from Kadosh, because when it was, when the process being distilled, it's no longer valuable, not forever. So how can you say that the Shaykh of Rafa is coming from Kadosh?
Right,
you mean according to the Mishkan Zankiv has a tshuva, where he wants to say that any trefa, let's say you had trefa wine, orla, whatever, and then you distill it, so he claims that when it was in the state of steam, it wasn't Roy Lachila, so at that time it couldn't maintain an Isser. So later on, after you condense it, and after the steam is converted back into liquid, so I should say that since when it was in the state of steam, it was Mutas, that's in Gansim, Param Chadosh Malkan. So if you say like that, it should taka be Shakal. Maybe I should say, if it's a Shtani, the whole Isser goes off. So I should say the whole, it's Param Chadosh, everything should go off, right? So we don't really accept that opinion. Some are makel by the rabbanim. That's Rabbi Chaim Moshe said. Some are makel by stam yenam. They wouldn't check on the cognac and the brandy, even though they knew that it was, religious Jews knew it was made from stam yenam. They wouldn't check for hashgacha because they felt on dinam the rabbanim you can rely on this sheet of the Mishkan Hasyayin kebishem harivosh. For chametz but Pesach, so all schnapps will be kosher the Pesach. So for chametz eating chametz on Pesach, that's a din deraisa. So they were machmer for dinam the rabbanim. They were makel. The Pitzchei Tshuva quotes a Chassam Sofer like that. He was mekel on stam yenam also. He was mekel on distillation on ishtani. But we don't really hold like that. We hold that that's not called ishtani.
Even if it doesn't have the tam of the ayin, you still have the
ayin. It has the...
Is it as far that it has to have the tam of the pri, or the tam of the same thing?
It has the tam of the alcohol shabbat. The wine, first it was grape juice. And then if it sits long enough, it turns into wine. And then the wine has alcohol and junk. So I separated the alcohol Chabot from the wine Chabot. So I'm left only with alcohol. It tastes exactly the way alcohol tastes. That's the top. That's what Rabbi Yanke Pem said. That's Ishtani Limal Yusuf. People pay more money for the cognac and for their brandy than they would pay for the plain grape juice or for the wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. We're at the end of the next parak. There's a machlokes hatanoim. When do you say bar pri hagofen? When do you say bar pri hoetz? On grape juice. We had the Gemara in the first daf. The Gemara says, "Hamashkama yetsim and azesim shem and zayis." Sometimes say bar prihoitz. The mashkama yetsim and azesim adam should have been bar prihoitz, except for the fact that it has a fancier broch. Is there any hechitimtze where the wine is bar prihoitz instead of bar piagov? So that's on nun amid aleph. There's a machlekes hatanoim. Reb Lezer is of the opinion, "Ein mevorchem alayana shitan letocha mayim." Divrei Reb Lezer, unless you made yayin mozel. If you have yayin chai and you didn't do mezige, Rav Leizer says it doesn't have the chashivis to have the super bracha. A bar pri hagofen, it's going to be plain old bar pri. But chachamim marmim mevorchim. The chacham disagree. So according to Rav Leizer, you have an aftamina. Sometimes the wine will be bar pri hayitz instead of bar pri hagofen. It won't have the fancy bracha. I don't know. You suggest that maybe it doesn't have the tam of wine. I don't know. But it's a taina by grape juice. Some say the grape juice, the chashivas of wine, that it should have a super brocha, bar pi agof, instead of bar pi eitz, is only if you let it ferment. Or, the Gemara said, b'feresh sechato d'meshkel shalanovim, v'amra olav kiddush ayayim. It means a person got stuck out of town and he, for Shabbos, and he doesn't have any wine. So how's he going to make kiddush? So I'll buy a box of matzahs, say Kiddush over matzahs. Okay, what do you do Shabbos morning? Shabbos morning says in Shulchan Aruch, you can't say Kiddush over matzahs. That's but all you say is Hamotzi. You're not going to say Friday night, they say a long bracha. So there, the Rabbi in Talmud Taisa says, if Yainis is, you don't like wine, if you can't afford wine, you don't have wine, then you say Kiddush over Chalitz. Shabbos morning, you don't say any Kiddush, you just say the Birchas Hanenin. So that's how you always start the meal, you always say Hamotzi, and you eat a sandwich. So that bank can't be considered Kiddush. So let's say a guy's stuck out of town. So how's he going to say Kiddush? You buy some grapes in the store, you squeeze it out. You have to squeeze it on Friday. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, you take a cluster of grapes, you squeeze it out. So you see that you can say Kiddush on grape juice, even though it didn't ferment, it didn't turn into wine. So many hold that that's only if it's grape juice that wasn't treated chemically in such a way to prevent it from fermenting. Even though he drank it before, he had a chance to ferment, but that's called bar priyagofen. But if you treated it chemically and you cooked it and you turned it into grape juice, that's not going to ferment. If it sits long enough, it'll spoil. It's not going to ferment. So then there are many who hold that that's going to be shahakal nibedvar. That's not going to be bar priyagofen. I don't know, should it be shahakal or should it be bar priyoetz? Maybe grape juice should be bar priyoetz. Maybe it doesn't have the fancy special bracha bar priyagofen. Maybe it should still be bar priyoetz, like Rav Lezer says, that sometimes the wine is bar priyoetz instead of being bar priyagofen.
Rabbi, can you say kiddush on coffee or tea if there's nothing else to say kiddush?
On Friday night, we insist that you got to have wine. If you don't have wine, then you say kiddush over chalas, two chalas. You wash before and you say amoetz and you say the kiddush. On Shabbos morning, we assume that if one doesn't have wine, he can recite the Kiddush of a Chamar Medina. Chamar means the wine. Chamar is the Aramaic word for wine. Whatever is accepted as a drink that you would give a guest. A cup of water is not as people drink when they're thirsty. That's not the drink that you give a guest who comes to eat. But so some in Europe, some are of the opinion that you can say Havdalah over Hamar Medina, so some are of the opinion Kiddush and Shabbos morning, you can say over a cup of tea, a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Some are of the opinion like that. If wine is not available, if wine
right.
is available, it's not right.
Interesting.
Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses what's acceptable for Hamar Medina, what's not. And then the last paragraph in the tshuva he writes, by the way, what continent do you live on? What is there to discuss? Knock on the next door neighbor, you get some wine. What's so difficult? Why can't you find some wine? Wine is very available now. In Europe, a lot of times they couldn't afford wine. Chavetz Chaim obviously say Kiddush over Chalas. You hardly ever had wine to say Kiddush. The Shabbos morning you said Kiddush over Hamar Medina. Havdalah they said over Hamar Medina.
In Paschim like faces on every mashkin we say Shabbos,
so you would never make a very free
enough.
We never make a very free enough. According to Taisus, could be. That the only time you say Bar Pihoetz on the Shemen Zayis is when it's in the middle of a soup. Rashi said that that's because it's a Meichel, but if it would be a Mashke, not. If it would be a beverage, not. That could be. So according to Ablazer says you only say Bar Priyagofen if it's Mazug, and if it's not Mazug, not that you say Bar Priyagofen, then you say Shehakol. According to Tosafot, we say Shehakol. Mm-hmm. Correct.
The Mishnah said for wine.
Yeah, the Mishnah just says, Rav Lezer holds, you don't always say Bar Pri HaGofen. So what do you say? So I was assuming you say Bar Pri HaGofen. So he says, according to Taisus, it's not so. Probably right. According to, I have to look in the Gemara again. What does the Gemara say, according to Rav Lezer? What bracha do you say? Don't remember. I'll have to take a look there. What? The Gemara says you say Bar Pri HaGofen. Where is it? Nun on the base. Bar Pri HaGofen, or Bar Pri Hoetz, yes. 10 lines from the top, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. So what Tosefta is going to do with that? It says the famous that you say Bar Pri Hoetz. So the Kivegar should have asked from this Brysa. The Kivegar asked on the Tosefta, and you'd base him on all. We should have said it's against the Brysa. I don't know. So the famous that it's Bar Pri Hoetz. Don't know. There is a Gemara in the last parak of Pesachim where the Gemara says that one of the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael visited Bavel, and they were going to say Havdalah over some kind of beer, and So he was questioning whether this is right. He said, go over beer. And then he drank the beer, and then he got so shikr from the beer, he said, wow, this is the real McCoy. This is the real Hamar Medina. So that's why several poskim say, based on that Gemara, by the Litvaks, they say the Rav Chaim Volozhin said it. So I'll just quote the Chuvis, and earlier, before Rav Chaim Volozhin was born. So several Achranim pointed out, and that Gemara would appear, perhaps, that it's only called Hamar Medina if it's midi de meshaker. If it doesn't have alcoholic content, if it doesn't make you drunk, so that's not considered Chamar Medina. So that's a question. And most didn't hold like that. Many were make of it, even tea and coffee in Europe. When a guest would come, you give him a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. And that was also considered Chamar Medina. Third question. At Chaim Moiser, Rabbi Chon of Asma was just once visiting Rabbi Chaim Moiser. They were brothers-in-law. Rav Chaim Moiser's second wife, first wife died, so the second wife was the daughter of the Rav from Shavuot. Rav Meir Atlas was the rabbi in Shavuot. Shavuot is a big city. I passed through it this summer. Shavuot is a gigantic city. So he had two daughters, one married Rav Hanan Basim, and one was the second wife of Rav Chaim Moiser after his first wife died. So Rav Hanan was once visiting Rav Chaim Moiser on Shabbos, and he came back to the yeshiva. So he told the Talmidim, the Chiddush, that his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Moiser, made Havdalah over a cup of coffee. And he made the Havdalah while the cup of coffee was piping hot. So he asked them, why don't you wait till it cools off a little bit? You can't drink it like that. So he said, no, it's only hot. You only give it to a guest when it's burning hot. It only has the status of Chamar Medina if it's piping hot. And then the guest waits a little bit to drink it later. But you have to say the Havdalah while it's still burning hot. If you're going to serve it while it cooled off already, when it's time to drink it, then it's not called Chamar Medina. It's Achirish. Yeah.
When you say
breakfast and
onion with a bell, or do you wait?
Shahakol, yeah.
And then drink it piping hot?
He would drink it a little bit, then wait till it cooled off a little bit, then he would drink some more, yeah. They used to drink it slowly. Many Europeans enjoy drinking tea and coffee when it's burning hot. They drink it very slowly. And then when it cools off a little bit, then they drink it a little faster. Yeah. So Taisa again. So the Taisa is Lamed Chesem and Beis. Taisa says we pass like Rav Chisda. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. And the Yayin we pass like Taisa. The Yayin Melusha is Bar Piagof and not like Shitas Rashi. Another thing that's an issue. Cognac and this. Okay, these are Shailas. And then at the end, says Taisa writes, this is all the opinion of the Rabbeinu Yehuda Sir Leon. He's the Bala Taisa. See, everything's from Rabbeinu Yehuda. And then it's Emiwa Rav Alfa's Pasak that. Everything retains bar priya adama, even if it's afilish tani legrius. The Rif doesn't pass like Rav Chizdi, he assumes like Rav Nachman that it's a machlekes amaroim, and based on the Mishnah, we accept the opinion that even shlokas is also going to be bar priya adama. So even ishtani legrius, we don't distinguish between ishtani legrius and ishtani mayus. Fine, but we don't pass like the Rif. We follow Tosis. What does Tosis write? The last three lines: ve'egos metugan bidvash. It's a new shaila. Unrelated. Egas metugan bidvash. You have, let's say, the chocolate companies sell all kinds of chocolate. So sometimes they have chocolate-covered nuts. Sometimes they have chocolate-covered cherries. Sometimes they have chocolate-covered, I don't know, goo. All kinds of goo inside. So Taisa says, Egas metugan bidvash, they think you have an ikar and a tefil, you don't say two brachas. So they think that the egos is ikar. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, sort of the way it's Nogel Halacha Bizman, is that if it's a chocolate company that's selling a box of chocolates, if it's a nut company, and they have sometimes they sell nuts that are Metugim Bidvash, then obviously the nut company is interested in selling nuts. So the Iker is going to be the nut, and the Dvash is going to be the Tuffel. But if it's a chocolate company, and sometimes they have chocolate covered nut, and sometimes they have a chocolate covered cherry, and all kinds of different things. So by a chocolate company, obviously the ikar is the chocolate and the nut is the tuffel, just for flavoring.
What do we care about the company? We care about the person that's eating it.
Yeah, but if you buy a box of chocolates, basically you're eating chocolate. A lot of times you don't even know what's inside. So someone who ate one of them knows, oh, this shape has a cherry and this shape has a nut. So the guy says, okay, take this one, not that one. Basically, we're eating chocolates. We're not eating nuts. So I think that's what the later poskim agree with this Taz. It's not always 100% the way Taisa said. Shulchan Aruch quotes this, the egos, the ikar is the egos, Sometimes the ikar is going to be the dvash or the chocolate.
What if there's a cookie inside?
Cookie.
Does it need two brachas, or would it be
a tefillin mamish? I don't know. Maybe you should need two brachas, maybe one bracha. I don't know. What to look into? Mestama, there are no two chocolates that are similar. Mestama, some of them will be like this, some will be like that. I don't know. You should look into it. What if you have a cookie inside?
Chocolate is from a tree.
Chocolate is also a shayla. Why do you, nobody eats the chocolate cocoa bean? It doesn't taste good. But the shayla is, so it should be like potatoes. So it should be like potatoes. That if you eat it raw, you say shakam. Maybe chocolate is not healthy at all. Maybe you shouldn't say it all. A bracha, it's azuki mazikle. And maybe only after you cook the potatoes, then it becomes bari piyo adam. And maybe the chocolate should only become bari piyo eitz after you cook it. So that's what some taina, that all the chakras should be bar pihoitz. There's a rabbi in Manchester put out a little sefer in the Kor HaBracha, and he explains what brachas he said, all the different foods. He has the whole argument on this issue, that the chocolate should really be bar pihoitz. So some of the poskim defended the common practice why we say chocolate. Shver, the pasha should have been right. It grows on a tree and you can't eat it the way it is. It should be like this Gemara. So then it should become bari piyoitz.
Is this idea that it's processed and it doesn't look anything like?
Oh, so the tiny like the rush. That's what we had yesterday. Tosis writes over here on Lametesam and Aleph, Maya de Silka. Tosis comments on the Gemara that on vegetable soup you say bari piyadoma, even afal pishein bo elamayim. The tamhai rokas, even though you've strained out all of the vegetables, you still say bar pri adama. So Tosis says, why? Because you cooked it in it. Because you cooked the vegetables. So the Rosh writes a suffix. He doesn't think that the same would be true if you cooked fruit soup. But in order to say bar pri adama, you have to have the tzuras api nika. So that's a taina. Maybe we shouldn't say bar pri huaitz on the chocolate, because the tzuras api is not nika. The whole thing is melted. The whole thing is totally liquefied. So why shouldn't we say bar pri adama? Why do we knock it down to shakal? So let it be like vegetable soup. Let it be like vegetable soup. He said it based on the Rashi by Trima. That's how the Ramo quotes the Truma Sadesh and comments on the Rashi by Trima. The Gemara said in Amin Aleph, what bracha do you say on crushed fruits? The Gemara said you say bar pi hoitz, otherwise it would be a violation of Mishmeres Trumos. It wouldn't be allowed to make crushed fruits. So for Rashi is mashma that you're not allowed to make applesauce because it's totally liquefied. Only if you still have chunks. You're not allowed to make applesauce from apples of truma because that's a violation of mishmeres. You're not allowed to make applesauce from perishvias because that's a din liochle of all the hefsid. So the only time it's mutarif is if it's kotush ktsas vein amrus, if it's not liquefied. It's totally liquefied, then Rashi says you wouldn't say the bracha. So in Shulchan Aruch the Ramo quotes it both benegetu hadoma. I'm going to get to her eights. And others disagree. They say no, that this Rashi ain't a merusak means like the Rosh, that you wouldn't say her eights, because in order to say eights, you have to have Tzura Sapri, should be Nikki, you have to have a chunk of a salad. But to say Bar Pi Adam, so that's like Maya de Silka, that's the Tosis. Even if you strain out all the vegetables, you have no chunks at all. It's only Maya Mem Tamay Roka, so that you can't say Bar Pi Adam. So the kashan, so the issue on the chocolate should be, the chocolate should really be huadam, okay. We still shouldn't say shakl. Why do we say shakl? We should either say huaitz. Well, if you don't want to say huaitz because it's totally liquefied, there is no tzura sabri, there's no chunk left from the way it grew on the tree, so let it be huadam. So I think Rav Moshe has a tshuva, he justifies. The other have tshuvas, they try to justify why the minhag olam is to say shakl.
And
now
the other ingredients, they go with it? Which one is the roi?
Which is the roi?
Depends how sometimes expensive it is.
Very more expensive it is.
A large amount of cocoa inside, like 70-80% cocoa solids. Oh. In other places they have more milk.
So if the roi is shahakol, then it's going to be shahakol. The shahakol is if the roi is the cocoa. So then why shouldn't it be her eights or at least to adon? That's the shahakol. Okay.
What is the
bracha
on raw cocoa beans?
The bracha on what?
Raw cocoa beans.
Raw cocoa beans? Nobody eats it.
There are people who eat them for health purposes.
But you say it's not healthy?
I've never heard of it.
No, it's not for people.
Yeah? I don't know. But road people would not enjoy it, no?
Probably not, no.
Why, people take all kinds of pills for health also. So we had the klal, Tosis pointed out, if the pills don't taste good, then you don't say, bro. Only if it's a regular
one. No, I mean, it tastes okay.
It does taste okay.
Most people would have to choose to eat that above regular chocolate.
Most people
would rather have a chocolate than a raw cookery, but it tastes like food, it doesn't taste like
so if you say it, if you say a brach, you say shahakol. Eat, you look at the Erech Achilos, you say shahakol. So let's see. So the Gemara told the story here, in the middle of trying to figure out whether cooked vegetables retain the status of Bar Pri Adama, or cooked fruits retain the status of Bar Pri Yitzana. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I was once there. Ani Reisi, the second wide line on Lamed Chesed and Beis. Ani Reisi is Rabbi Yochanan. He ate a Zayis Maliach and Tosis Adzam Maliach Kiraseach. So if Mevushol accomplishes a Panim Chadoshes, so Maliach will also accomplish. Maliach Kiraseach should also accomplish a Panim Chadoshes. And I personally saw Rabbi Yochanan mumble, I don't know what bracha he said. He mumbled the bracha before, mumbled the bracha after. The bracha before could either be her eight or shahakol. Maybe maliach kiraseach, it's a panim chadash, it's a shahakol. What's going to be the bracha after? The Gemara thought originally that the minik to say bar nefosh is after anything that you eat didn't yet exist in the days of Rabbi Yechon and in Eretz Yisrael. It was developed in Bavel in the later years. That's the last piece of Gemara in Ketzer Mevorchim. On the top of Memhem and Alpuk Chazim Ayam Adabar. And the minik olam is that we say bar nefosh is after eating anything. The Gemara thought that it must be a raya that Shalokas retains Bimulsari Kaimer, retains its original status. Otherwise, how's it shot? Otherwise, what bracha did he say beforehand? Shahakol. What bracha did he say afterwards? There is no bracha afterwards. So it's a rai. He must have said Bar Pihaitz before, and Aloitz or Pihaitz at the end. Then the Gemara said, no, maybe he was saying Bar Nefesh. Maybe the minik to say Bar Nefesh after all the other foods already existed in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Rabbi Yechon. They didn't know. They lived in Bavel. They didn't know what the meaning was in Eretz Yisrael. So they guess. The Gemara says maybe the meaning was that they did say. So now we're on the last line of the Gemara. We're going to discuss that story. And what was the story? All he did was he ate one olive. He took out the pit, he threw it out, and he ate the olive. So in order to say a bracha achrayinu, the din requires that you have to eat akazayas. In order to say a bracha rishayinu, Tosis says on the top line of Lamed Tesem and Aleph, but you have less than the shi if you take out the pit. So one question was, the last line on Lamaches on the days is the kasha. Why did he say bracha achreino? Why did he say bracha achreino? Either bar nefoshes or al ha'etz v'piyetz, whichever he said. But kiven nishkila the garine. Once you remove the pit from the olives, so you don't have a kazayis anymore. So he responds back. Reb Zeri answers back, no, misabes kazayis gotta be none. You think that you have to eat a large size kazayis to say a bracha achrayna, no kazayis beinani beina. And the olive that Rabbi Yechanan ate started off as a zayis gotta. When he pulled out, when he plucked out the pit, so the volume of the zayis shrank to be the size of a zayis beinani. He ate the whole thing, shah. So he said a bracha achrayna. That's what the Gemara says. Here's where the Rashi is that we mentioned yesterday. Why is it called a zayis beinani? It's called the Zehu Zayis Aguri. Why is it called Zayis Aguri? Lamedik Shema Aguri. Sheshamna Ogur Bitocho. Maze Ogur. The Rashi draws a contrast between Zaysim Anovim as opposed to Tosim and Tapuchim. Rashi says that the berry juice or the apple juice is Balua Bitochakli. Mashenikin Zaysim Anovim is Mifkid Pocket. The Gemara has a suffix about Jason Mandavim and Psochim, whether the wine is Mifkid Pocket or Mivla Balua. Benegir Tetuma, the Gemara has a suffix. So here Rashi writes a difference between Jason Mandavim and Mifkid Pocket, that's called Ogre Betocho, as if the juice is sitting there contained in a bottle. Hashani came by Tapuchim in Tosim, it's Balua inside the cleaf. That's why it's called Zayis Agur. Okay. See, here there's a famous thesis. Thesis quotes from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi has such a question also. Rabbi Yochanan, about 10 lines into the thesis. The thesis raises the question. The quote the Yerushalmi is the question. How did he recite the bracha on an olive that didn't have a... there's not a kazayis of flesh of the olive. The kazayis, the volume of kazayis includes also the pit. The Yerushalmi answers, you're right, there wasn't the kazayis of flesh of the olive, but still it's a din of beria. And beri can substitute for a sheer kazayis. Where do we have such a din? That's a Mishnah in the third parak in Makkos. Mishnah says in Elohein Aloikin, the third parak is, who gets Malkus? So the rule is, whoever violates an Aveira, that's similar to L'Sachsim Shabbadish. The Mishnah lists off many people whose Averas are similar to L'Sachsim Shabbadish. And the Rambam gives you a full list. The Rambam gives you every single Lois essay that has Malkus. 1, 2, 3, gives you numbers, Tillops, whatever number he reaches there. So the Mishnah says, Amachlekes Atanoim. One tan is of the opinion, kol shuhu l'malkus, if you eat a kol shuhu, even a speck of non-kosher food, you get malkus. Isn't there a din you need a kazayis? No, he says kazayis is only in order to be chayiv chatos b'shoigeg. If a person ate chelav adam b'mezid, he wouldn't be chayiv koros. If he eats a b'shoigeg, he's chayiv chatos, he has to eat a kazayis. But in order to get malkus, even if you eat a chatzi shir, you still get malkus. That's one opinion. So we don't pass him like that. We paskin, you only get malchus if you eat a kazayis, or if you eat a non-kosher item, which is kibriyos, let's say you eat a bug. So if you ripped off one of the wings of the bug, or the head of the bug, or a leg of the bug, or something, that's not kibriyos. But if you have the whole sheretz, kibriyos, even though it's less than a kazayis, so then the Gemara says that a beria can substitute the Shira Kazai. So there the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah implies like that. So there the Mishnah and the Gemara say that a beria substitutes for Kazayas when you get the Malkus. And here Taisus quotes Yerushalmi that a beria substitutes for Kazayas when you get the Bracha Achareinu. There the Chachamim disagree with Rav Blazer. Where's that Mishnah and Malkus? Blazer says that Kol Shehu LeMalkus Lo'emer Kazayas Ela Le'inyan Chatas Bilvad. Blazer holds that you get malchus even if you eat a chatzishir, you're going to get malchus. The only time you have to eat a kazayis is in order to be chai v'chatos. So he proves it. What if a person eats a kernel of, he claims, if a person eats a kernel of tevel, kernel of grain of tevel. So he says the kernel of grain is less than a kazayis, and he thinks that you get malchus. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Maybe you should get malchus there because it's a chita achas kibriyosa. Maybe it's a beria. So the Gemara says the chachamim hold that you're not loike. Where's the machloikas? There used to be a mishnah malchus. Okay. So the chachamim disagree. Where is it? You doubt? Yeah. The first Mishnah. Reb Shimon says if you eat in the Mola culture, if you eat an ant, Kibriyosa, you get Malchus. So he says, so if you eat Chitachas Kibriyosa, if you eat a kernel of grain, which is Tevel, so you should get Malchus. Even the Chachamim should agree with him, who is Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon says like that, Kol Shehu LeMalchus. Kol Shehu LeMalchus. So he says, and even if you don't agree with me about Kol Shehu, you should at least agree that Echit Achaz Kibriyasa is like it because of a Beria. So the Gemara says, no, the Chachamim disagree. You need Brias Neshama. It has to be a live animal. A Namala, a bug, an ant, has a Brias Neshama. Where's that Gemara? Rabbana Brias Neshama Chashuva Chit Aloy Chashuva. That's right before the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, commenting on the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. Mishnah Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. Shimon holds Kol Shehu LeMalchus. Lama Kazai Se Alelinyan Korban Bilvad. And we don't pass like that. We pass and in order to get Malchus, you have to eat a Kazai's. So if you would eat a Nemolo, and the Molo is Kibriyosa, you get Malchus. But if you eat a Chitach as Kibriyosa, that's not called the Briya, because you need Briya's Neshama. So that's a Shaila here. The Yerushalmi says that a Beria can substitute for the Shir Kazayas with respect to bracha achrayna. So the Rishonim gives examples, or Tosfos gives examples. Where is it? Tosfos gives examples of beria. If you eat a tiny little grape, and the grape is very small, smaller than a kazayis, so you have a pomegranate, and pomegranate has tiny little things, each one is contained within a separate membrane. Or let's say you eat an orange, so you have each section of the orange has a membrane around it, the sections of the orange. You eat one section, that's called kibriyasa. So then you would have to say a bracha achrayna on that, even though it doesn't have a kazayis. You have a tangerine. Let's say one section of a tangerine is so tiny, or the tiny sections in the pomegranate, they're very tiny. So Tosfos claims, whatever is a beria, they say, based on Yerushalmi, you say bracha achrayna. So the Shaila isn't this in disagreement with the Bavli, because the Bavli says there in Makkos, that's what the Rishonim and Achrayim is. The Bavli says in Makkos that it's only called a beria if it's a brias neshama. If it's a chita achas kibriya, so that's not considered beria. It's a difficult, this Rishonim is stam, not the way we usually learn. We usually learn, why is it that if a person eats an amola, why is he loike? The Tosfos writes in a few places that beria is kimeforish dami. Means like this, let's say a person takes a neder, I will not eat potatoes. The doctor says he has to go on a diet, he shouldn't eat potatoes, he shouldn't eat cookies. Right? He takes a neder, he's not going to eat any potato chips, not going to eat any cookies. And then he goes and he violates a neder. How much cookies, how much potato chips does he have to eat in order to get malchus? So there's a machlokes tatanaim. Does he have to eat a kazayis or even less than a kazayis also? What's machlokes? It will in Loshem Bnei Adam, when the person takes a neder, but the Dharm Halacha Acha Loshem Bnei Adam. What was his intention? What did he say? What did he mean to say? Did he mean, do you assume that people, when they talk about eating potato chips or eating cookies, they mean kazayis, Loshem Bnei Adam? They say, no, that's in halacha, that's in chumash. But in Loshem Bnei Adam, even if you take a little nibble, less than a kazayis, it's also called achil. See, what happens if a person says, I will not even nibble? The doctor says he mustn't eat any cookies, mustn't eat any potato chips. So he says, I take a neder, shvu, whatever. I'll not even take a nibble of a kol shehu. So if he took a neder or shvu, you're not going to eat a kol shehu, so he'll be like on that. It's not lacha that you need kazayis. If a guy takes a shvu, he's not going to walk out into the street. He walks out into the street, he's like it. Where's the kazayis? You don't need a kazayis. Kazayis is when you're talking about machalas asuras. Whatever neder, whatever he formulates in the neder of the shvu. So that's binding, right? So if he took a neder not to eat potato chips, not to eat cookies, so that's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah Shavuos, then the Dharm Halacha Chalosh Miliyon, what did he probably mean? But if he says Mefurish, I will not even take a tiny nibble of a speck of the gazak. So Mefurish is like even on less than a gazak. So the Rishonim say that a beria is kin Mefurish dummy. The reason why you get malchus if you eat an amalda, because it's a beria, it's as if the Torah singled out. The Torah says, don't eat these bugs. Even if the bug happens to be less than a kazayis, but that's what it says in Chumash. Don't eat a non-kosher bug. There are kosher bugs and non-kosher bugs. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat the non-kosher bugs, even if it's less than a kazayis. That's like Meforish. You don't say in such a case, ein achil et chusim kazayis. No, that's ki Meforish dami, so you'll be like him. So if that's the reason why a beria is like even though it's less than a kazayis, it's not a word that beria can substitute for kazayis. No, it's kimeforish dummy. So what does that have to do with bracha achrayna? Bracha achrayna only applies mechalta v'sabata v'irachta if a person ate a kazayis called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun on the level of deraisa. You only chayv the bench if he had achila. Maybe he needs tzviya too. Okay, the Gemara said you need tzviya too. But let's say a person will eat bread less than a kazayis. An older person in the stomach shrank, skinny person, and they'll eat the half a kazayis of bread, that'll be for their tzviya, they won't be hungry. Then they're not chayv to bench menatar. You have to have achila, it means a minimum of a kazayis, plus you have to have kedei tzviya. If you have tzviya less than a kazayis, you're not chayv to bench, not even with the rabbanon. You have to have achila, so called the tikkun rabbanon came there as a tikkun. Even to say, or in a foshus, or to say any bracha achrayna, is only if you ate a kazayis pattern after the din deraisa. So what are you going to say? That a beria can substitute for sheer kazayis? My hepatesa, there is no such din. The reason why you get malchus, the beria, not that the beria substitutes for kazayis. A beria is kemifarish dami. When the Torah said, don't eat bugs, the Rabbanu Shalom was pointing at that bug. Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't eat that thing that's growing. So if you eat that, that's kemeforish dam. He said the rule of ein achilu pchus and lezayis doesn't apply. But he talking about bracha achrayinis. You do need ve'achalta b'savot. You need achilu samechet. Taste the whole thing. So that's it. This whole Yerushalmi is very questionable. And in Shulchan Aruch it's quoted as a sfeik and a dima, whether we should really paskin like this Yerushalmi or not. Does Yerushalmi agree with the Bavli? Doesn't correspond. That Gemara said in Makkos that the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon. They hold that a chitach as kibriyosa is not a barrier, because it's only called a barrier if it's a brias neshama, if it's an animal. If it's a vegetable, you don't call it a barrier. So that's why this the Taisis, the Yerushalmi that they quote is a deal whether we should accept it la'alocha or not. Does the Babli agree or disagree? Yeah, how much do you have to drink in order to say a bracha achrayin? How much do you have to eat? It's called the tikkun rabbanan. Came the rise of tikkun. It's patterned after the pasuk ve'achalta v'savot v'irach. How much do you have to drink to say a bracha achrayin? Also called the tikkun rabbanan. Came the rise of tikkun. It's also kazayis. You have to drink a kazayis. That's one opinion. You have to drink a kazayis. Another opinion is no. Why should you pattern after ve'achalta v'savot? Maybe eating and drinking is different for arai from Yom Kippur. On the level of the raisa, on Yom Kippur, achila, the shear for achila is koseves agasa, which is very big, bigger than a kazayis. But the shear for shtiyah is meloy lugmov. So maybe the shear over here for bracha achana should be meloy lugmov. So that's what Tosis writes in a few places. Tosis writes at Lamates and Aleph that the shear for bracha achana is meloy lugmov. Then Rabbi Kivegi refers you to the earlier Tosis on Lamed Zayin and Aleph. The first is just a kasha. If you hold the bichas hamazon and tuna tois, so when you eat bread, you have to bench alakos. Then you have mevarach tzorach sheyitim. So you have to drink. How much you have to drink? Maloy lugmav. So then the one who drank, the others don't have to drink, but one person has to drink the maloy lugmav. So when he drinks the maloy lugmav, so Rabbi Gamliel's opinion is that you have to bench the whole bichas hamazon and gimel brachas on wine, because all the shivas aminim require gimel brachas. You have to bench alakos. They have to drink Malay Lugma, then you don't finish. So how does he ever stop? That's Tosis Kash. So Tosis gave a teretz on the Kash. But you see that Tosis in the Kasha was assuming, that's what Rabbi Kivega points out. Tosis in the Kasha on Lam and Zayin and Aleph on the bottom was assuming the same as over here, that the Shia for Bracha Achrayna for drinking should be Malay Lugma. Tosis in Sukkah is not sure. Should it be Malay Lugma, or should it be Kazayas, or should it be Revias? That's how the Rambam says. The Shia for drinking is Revias. This is a beitza machza. Malay lugmav, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran from Arbe Psochem. The Ran writes on the Rif and Arbe Psochem that malay lugmav, it depends on each person individually. If a person has a bigger mouth, so the malay lugmav is going to be bigger. Has a smaller mouth, that will be smaller. So the Ran writes that malay lugmav by an on and bainan is usually a rov revis. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber recommends that you should never drink any beverage that you're going to want, that you're going to, soda, tea, coffee, whatever. You should never drink anything more than a kazayis and less than a revius. Because it could be that the shear is kazayis, and it could be that the shear is revius, could be the shear is malay lugma, which is in between. Malay lugma is a rov revius by non abeyani. So we don't know whether it's the largest shear or the smaller shear. So anything you're going to drink, any amount of drinking you have in between the revius and the kazayis, is going to be a suffix bracha achrayna. So that's what they Shulchan Aruch, they recommend. You should always make sure you drink more than a revius or less than a kazayis. And drink in the middle of a meal, so you'll be covered with the benching at the end. So that's a suffix. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote this suffix. If you drink wine, that's how Tosis formulates the suffix, I think, in Sukkah. If you drink wine, what's the shear for bracha achrayna? Is it a revius or is it kazayis? So the Shulchan Aruch presents it that that's a suffix by all drinking. If you drink soda, if you drink coffee, if you drink beer, what's the shear for bracha achrayna? Is it kazayis or is it revius? Rav Soloveitchik raised another point. It could be that the suffix is what's the nature of the bracha achrayna on wine. Because Tosis has a shayla. The bracha achrayna on wine, should it be al ha'etz v'al pri ha'etz? Because the bracha rishayna should have really, that's what it would appear from the Gemara. Bracha rishayna on wine should have really been bari pri ha'etz. That's how the Gemara seems to say the first Mishnah, the Mishnah later. Should have really been bari pri ha'etz. But they made it fancier. It said pri agofen. So what bracha achrayna do you say? So do you say, it never says explicitly, do you say al ha'etz or pri ha'etz, the bracha achrayna on wine? Well, no, we don't say that. We say al ha'gefen or pri ha'gefen. So if it's al ha'etz or pri ha'etz, you're saying a bracha achrona on wine, the Torah said it's a pri, so then the shear for pri is kazai, so maybe the shear for wine should also be kazai. If you say ala gefen, la pri gefen, it's a bracha achrona, the Torah is wine, so wine is a beverage, starts off as a beverage, so maybe the shear should be revius. Yes. So the way Rav Soloveitchik suggested, the suffix in the Shulchan Aruch, the way they quote and tell, maybe the suffix is only on wine. But it's usually assumed that that's not the suffix. The suffix is what's the shear bracha for bracha achrona for soda. They drink a revius and they drink a kazayis. One opinion of Tosfos was, if you drink a kazayis, it's sayash barnefashes. Not a special suffix only on wine. The Torah's what? Do you say bracha achrona for Torah's? That it's a mashkem ayetzim min a hoanovim. It's dinim kipri, so he's saying the bracha achrona for Torah's alavetz al priyates. That's why it should be kazayis. No. Tosfos suffix was on all beverages. How much do you have to drink? That's another shot. There are theories in the Rambam. How much do you have to drink in order to get malchus? If you're drinking macholas asuras. So the Rambam sometimes writes revius, and sometimes writes kezayis. The Rambam writes in Hilchas macholas asuras. If a person eats kezayis dam, he gets malchus. Why should it be kezayis dam? Why should it be revius dam? The Minchas Chinuch says, Minchas Chinuch is bothered with the kasha. Dam is liquidy, so shouldn't it be, the shear should be a revius. So the Minchas Chinuch says that the answer is because in the Chumash, whether you need a shear kazayis or revius depends the way it appears in the Chumash. So since it says, Kol dam lois achelu, it says, Beloshan achila, so that's why the shear is kazayis. Other places, the Rambam says the shear is revius. Because the Chumash formulates it, Betor is drinking, not Betor is eating. But whatever the Chumash, it depends the way it's formulated in the Chumash. That's how the Minchas Chinuch says. One could have said perhaps that the Shir Revius, we had the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Chayyadam, that if a person eats a bowl of soup, and it doesn't have any chunks of vegetables, just I strained out all of the vegetables, you have just that vegetable soup. The Tosfos said that the Brach is Bar Pri Hadama, that's how Tosfos learned the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim that the shear for bracha achrona is kazayis of soup, not a revius of soup. Why? Because you're not drinking soup as a beverage to quench your thirst. You're eating soup to fill you up. So that's a meichel. There is a solid meichel. There's a liquid meichel, but that's meichel. Like we said from the Kamarna, that schnapps is a meichel. It's not a mashke. It's not a beverage. So it could be that that's what the Rambam means. Nobody drinks blood with thirst a beverage. People drink blood because they think that it's healthy. So they're eating blood, like a bowl of soup. Maybe that's why he says the shear is kazayis. The Miri writes in one place, that the Miri in Erevin writes, the beginning of Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin quotes this Braisa. Does the Gemara have the Braisa? The bottom of Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. The last 10 lines. Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Chanan, Kol haPasuk Hazeh Kulo LeShiurim Neman. Chita Yisar VeGefen Atein Averim and Eretz Zeh Shemen Advosh. So the Gemara goes through all the different Shiurim. Kol haMikra Hazeh LeShiurim Neman. So this is in Sukkah and Erevin. Erevin Davdalis and Amiri. There in Erevin writes, the Gemara is talking about what has a Shiur Kazayis, what has a Shiur Revius. So the Amiri writes that Dam. The Amiri writes Dam Korush is Kazayis. Dam Korush is Kazayis. So it sounds like if it would have been in a liquid state, there would have been revius, but because it's congealed, dam korish is kazayis. So Rabbi Simcha Zisel Brody from Chevron Yeshiva, the one who published the Mir with all of his footnotes, he says, how can it be? It doesn't make any sense. He thinks it's a misprint or it's a Rashi text. He gives a whole different interpretation. It reads very simply. Mir is bothered the question, why should dam be kazayis? So he says, if it's dam korish, if you eat it in a solid state, then it's going to be kazayis. If you drink the dam in a liquid state, they think it's going to be revius. So that's questionable. Why the Rambam says that the shear for dam is kazayis? Could be like the Minchas Chinuch said. It could be the way we suggested that it's like soup. It's a meichel, it's not a beverage. And it could be the way the Miri said, that it depends if you're eating the dam in a liquid state or a solid state. Maybe if you drink in a liquid state, maybe the shear would be kazayis. Anyway, that's a deal in the Rambam. When the Rambam sometimes says, by drinking macholas asura, sometimes it gives the shear kazayis, sometimes it gives a shear of Revi. So Menchas Chinuch claims that that's the explanation. It depends what it appears in Chumash. How is the Issa formulated? If it's formulated in Torah called Dam La Sechel, Beloshan Achila, then the shear is Kezayis. If it's formulated, a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. It said not allowed to drink wine. So the prohibition is formulated for Torah's drinking wine. So then the shear is going to be Revi's. Then the Rambam has, for eating matzah and for eating mara, you have to eat a kazayis tochkei de achilas pras. What about drinking to say a bracha achrayna? How fast do you have to drink your coffee? How fast do you have to drink your soda or your milk in order to say a bracha achrayna? So the Rambam writes, you have to drink a revius tochkei de shtiyas revius. Means no pausing at all. After straight achila, you have a long time to eat kazayis tochkei de achilas pras. Pras means the time that it takes to eat either three beitzim or four beitzim. And a kazayis is either chatzi beitz or shlish beitz. So you multiply two or three times three or four. So you can make a lot of pauses there between the beginning of the kazayis and the revi. How about drinking? So the Rambam writes that it's revius tokedei shtiyas revius. In order to get malchus, for a nozer who has to drink a revius yayin without any pauses at all. So the Ravid is masig, and he says it's against the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Krisis that talks about a person drinking a revius. The Mishnah happens to be talking about Tumas Gevir. When a person eats Tamidika food or drinks Tamidika Mashkim, so there's a din with the Rabbanah that when he swallows the food, it makes him Tami. Minatar, there is no such thing. Because Ochlam Mashkim can't be an Av HaTumah. Kol Shein Lo Tarib B'Mikveh Inan Asa Av HaTumah. There's no Tarib B'Mikveh to Ochlam Mashkim. There can never be an Av HaTumah. In order, Mekan was only Mekabal Tumah from an Av HaTumah. That's the Gemara, the first Av in Bavit Kama. So Minatar doesn't exist. It's impossible that Ochlam Mashkim, that a Tami should transmit Tumah to the other. In the Rabbanan, the Gemara says a whole explanation why they instituted Tumas Agviya. That one who swallows Tamidika food, a Tamidika Mashkim, makes him Tumas. So the Mishnah says increases if he drinks a Revius of Tamidika Mashkim, Turk Kedei Achilas Pras. The Farish. Drinking is not Revius Turk Kedei Shtias Revius. Revius Turk Kedei Achilas Pras. So that's the Ravitz Hasoga and the Rambam. How come the Rambam says, and in Hilchas Yom Kippur, the Machlekes is quoted, when a person has to eat, let's say, Pachas Mikashir, on Yom Kippur, we wouldn't permit him to eat a full shear shalom, so he eat pachas pachas being a shear. So if he's eating food, so the shear is tosevus agasa, and toch kedei achilas pras. So that, at least we know what the shear of the food is, and how long it takes that it should not be mitzur. Toch kedei achilas pras. What about drinking? So the Mechaber quotes, it's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. According to the Ravid, the shear is maloi lugmov, toch kedei shtias revius. According to the Rambam, Maloy Lugmav Toch Kedei Shtias Revius, and according to the Ravid, it's Maloy Lugmav Toch Kedei Achilas Pras. That's a Machlokes. But the problem, the Menachas Chinuch points out there, Stiris and the Rambam there too. Sometimes the Rambam says Revius Toch Kedei Shtias Revius, sometimes he writes Revius Toch Kedei Achilas Pras, and sometimes he has Kazayis Toch Kedei Shtias Revius. So that the Menachas Chinuch gives up. He doesn't know how to figure that out. He gives a partial solution, but he doesn't know how to figure out the whole Rama. So that the Biskerov has a nozer on that to try to figure out the rest of that Rama. But the Shifa Bracha Achrayna, that the Rama holds the Shifa Bracha Achrayna as Revius, and Tosis is not sure whether it's Kazayus or Maloy Lugmov, or possibly Revius. Tosis raises all the possibilities. So on Shulchan Aruch we go Lechumra. Yeah. Then Tosis says the only time going to the Bishalmi that if one eats a whole Aleph, Azayis Kipriyosa, you say a bracha achrayna, that a barrier doesn't require a shear, just like by Malkus. The Tesis says it will only be called a barrier if he swallows the whole Aleph with the pit in it. If he removes the pit, the Bavli thought that Rabbi Yechon must have taken out the pit. Why should any Meshugane want to swallow the pit from the Aleph? He wants to grow olive trees in his stomach. Of course he's going to spit out the pit. And Tosfos says, Yerushalmi seems to be assuming that he swallowed the whole olive with the pit. If you remove the pit, it's not going to be kibriyosa. Cholak ala gemar dilan, kinemash mahacha. So Yerushalmi is learning. Ochamad the Babli stuck on Husra agarinim. They removed the pits. Dim lo ken lo hay kibriyosa. Avla macholoshon mafilim hay predachas. Yerushalmi thought that he swallowed the whole Aleph with the pit, lakachut l'tareis. That's why they say that it's kibri yosai. Yeah, the only time it's called kibri yosai is if the whole thing is all together. With the pit, even though the pit, if you eat pits, you don't say bracha achreina. But if you swallow the aleph without the pit, then it's not, then the Yishalmi's din wouldn't apply. Let's say for moror, says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to eat a kazayis of moror. So what if you have a whole plant that grew from the ground, kibri yosai, you eat the whole thing. So some Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in Hilchas Moror raises, quotes Achrenim who raised that possibility. If you eat the whole piece of vegetable, if you have romaine lettuce or the gigantic things, has many kazaisim in it. So you don't have to eat the whole thing, just eat a kazais from it. Unless you have one of the other minim that's acceptable for Moror, and you're eating the whole vegetation, the whole thing altogether, and has less than a kazais. So based on this, Yerushalmi, some Achrenim want to say, if you eat a kibriyosa, you would be yotze. But then they say, it's only called the berry if you eat the whole thing with the sharoshim. The sharoshim are not mitzdarf to a kazais. Well, the pit is also not mechayim over here. If you eat aleph pits, you don't say berach achrenim. But if you eat the aleph with the pit, then it's called kibriyosa. If you eat the aleph without the pit, it's not called kibriyosa. It won't be a berry. So if you want to get away with eating less than the kazais of mora, based on the principle of beriyah, so then Rabbi Kiveger says you have to swallow the whole vegetation with the sharoshim. Who does that? Nobody swallows the sharoshim. The Gemara says in Chulin, if you eat an eva menachai, what's an eva menachai? Yeah, this is, there are ramach evarim in a male body. So this is one eva. The Mishnah says, this is one eva, there's another eva, there's a third eva, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is less than a gazayis. This eva is less than a kazayis. So let's say you eat an eva menachai from a behema, less than a kazayis. So the Gemara says you like it because it's a beria. But part of the beria is etzim. You have to have basa gidin batzamas. So you have to have an etzim sholem. This is an etzim sholem. This is an etzim sholem. This is an etzim sholem. So you have an etzim sholem, and you have a little basa on it. You have a little gidin on it. But the etzim is not edible. But you're not like it unless you eat the whole beria bishle musa with the etzim, even though the etzim is not royal achid. So the same Rabbi Kiveger said, quotes from Achrenim, if you eat maror, there is an opinion based on this Yerushalmi. If you eat maror, a beria, a dova sholem, you'll be yotze, even if it's the size, the volume of less than a kazayis, provided that you eat it with the sharoshim, the whole thing altogether, the way it grew. Who wants to eat that? But the whole Yerushalmi is very questionable, because the Bavli tells the story about Rabbi Yechanan totally differently. That he took out, shokolad agarin yasi. He took out the pit, so it's not kibri yosai. So first Taisa says, Zamachlek is Bav Yerushalmi, and Taisa assumes we follow the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. That's the cloud that the Rif has in the end of Yuma. The Rif has a cloud, whenever there's a Machlek is in the Bav Yerushalmi, you follow the Bavli. The question is, does it even apply if there's a Machlek Bav Yerushalmi regarding a story of Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan lived in Yerushalmi world, and his Talmidim are the ones who wrote the Yerushalmi. So the Rishonim say yes, even there's a theory between the Bavli and Yerushalmi about what Rabbi Yechanan's Shita was, and we still follow the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. That's what we assume, most assume like that. So the first half of Tosis is assuming it's a theory between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Cholak ala Gemara Shalom. Cholak ala Gemara Shalom. Then the second half, Rabbeinu Yosei Mefarash, Ein HaCholak, they're two different stories. The Bavli is telling one story about Rabbi Yechanan where he took out the pit. So it wasn't kibri yosa. So you had to have a zayis gadol. After taking out the pit, you had a shir kizayis benani. Shalmi is telling a different story. Shalmi is telling a different story. That in Gemara Yishalmi Hoysav, a different story. He ate a zayis kibri yosa shalem with the pit. And that can substitute for the kizayim. Then Tosafot quotes another story from the Yerushalmi, which has nothing to do with the first story, totally unrelated, about turmiso. Yeah, before, turmiso was a vegetable that they cooked 7 times. We had before in the last narrow lines on Lamed Ches on the base, but Barmidein, there was a turmiso vegetable that they cooked in 7 different pots b'zeh hazeh, and they ate it. And he asked Rabbi Yechanan, what bracha should we say? So he said, bar pi adam, he didn't say shahakol. But the Torah was edible before. It was Nechal Chai. You see that even though it's Mavushal, you still say Bar Pri Adam. Sure. But that's what the Gemara said. So Tosafot quotes a story about from the Yerushalmi. The fellow planned to eat the turmis, and says Baruch Pri Hadoma, and then he dropped it and it fell in the mud, or it fell down the drain. He's eating in the street, fell down the drain. He can't eat it. But he said a bracha. He said Baruch Pri Hadoma, Baruch Pri, whatever. So he feels bad. He doesn't want that. It should be a bracha l'atama. He's going to eat another turmis. He's going to take another turmis. So Yerushalmi says, sorry, you got to say another bracha. Bod Yesh B'Yerushalmi, the last 13 lines in the Tesis. Echad Baruch Haturmis the Mechle. He said a bracha on a fruit or a vegetable. And he fell and he got all filthy. He can't eat it. V'shokal achrina, and he takes a different one to eat. Boy, beruchi zimna achrita. He has to recite another bracha. Why? Because the other pri wasn't the fun of at the time that he said bar pri vadama, bar pri vay. In Shulchan Aruch there's a machlek, there's a mechabed ramah. What's the dini? Let's say he has a whole bowl full of fruits on the table. And he takes one fruit and he starts saying bar pri eitz on the apple. And then it falls down and it gets filthy and he can't eat it. But he planned to have more than one apple. He's going to have a few. So, do I say that since initially he planned to eat more fruit than one, the bracha barayitz goes on everything, so he doesn't have to say another bracha? Yisham is only going in the case he only planned to eat one fruit, and he dropped it, so then he's going to take another one. He never had intention for the first bracha to cover the second fruit. Or should you say no, that the Yishami's din even applies if he planned to eat the second fruit? So the Ramah is Mekel. Ramah says, Machlekes Mechaber the Ramah, different Rishon. Ramah is Mekel that if you had a mind to eat other fruits, and the bracha goes on everything. How come the mechaber? How come many rishonim hold not so? Many rishonim hold not so. The bracha that I said, let's say a guy's going to eat potato chips. So he says baruch pri adam on the first potato chip, or shahakol, whatever he says on the first potato chip, and then he doesn't say any bracha on the rest of the potato chip. So let's say he says a bracha on the first potato chip, and he drops it, and it gets filthy. He can't eat it. So he didn't plan to eat only one. He planned to eat 1,000 potato chips. So, when he drops the first one, does he say bracha on the next one or not? So, why is there a machlokes? Why is there a machlokes? So, some rishonim, many rishonim hold, the bracha is only on the first mashuhu that you eat, and the rest of the food doesn't require a bracha. Just like if you have ikar and tofel. Let's say I have potatoes with butter on it, or I have potatoes with salt on it. So, on salt, you say, salt or butter, you say shahakum. On potatoes, you say huadam. So the fellow is eating potatoes with butter with salt on it. So he only says ha'adama, he doesn't say shahakal. Why is that? Because the ha'adama is chala on the butter and on the salt. No. How can ha'adama, if you say ha'adama on butter and salt, it's a bracha lo'atama, you have to say over again. The answer is, you don't need a bracha. Birach al-ikr, you don't need a bracha on the tafel. So here also, if you're eating food, so you only require a bracha on the first morsel of food that you eat. The bracha is only chala on that. And the rest of the food is mutatit without a bracha. It's not that the bracha is chala on everything. The bracha would be chal on everything. We would say you're not allowed to be mafsik, you're not allowed to talk. It is not so. You're allowed to talk. After you swallow the first mashu, you're allowed to talk. So the bracha is really only chal on the first bit of food that you eat. So that's why many rishonim understand from this rishami, the guy eats one turmis, so he says baruch pri adama, baruch pri. He plans to eat a lot of turmis. He's going to eat 1,000 potato chips. But when he says the bracha is chal on the first potato chip that he's holding, and then he dropped it. So then his bracha is a bracha l'matol. I let the bracha go on the other potato chip. He never had in mind the bracha is going to go on the others. He was going to have the bracha chal on the first one, and the other is going to be mutter without any bracha. That's how many rishonim say. And there are more paskin answer. There are more paskins. If you said bari pihu eitz, and you have a whole bunch of fruits in front of you, and you plan to eat more than one fruit, so the bari pihu eitz goes on the others. Except it's the whole thrust of all the Gemaras is not so.
If someone wants to make a bracha on something and then when they put it to their mouth, it's way too hot to eat, is it to make a new bracha when it cools down?
A person says a bracha and he sees it's too hot, so you wait a little bit. L'hatchila, it's not right to pause, but you should say the bracha immediately before you're about to eat. But even if you paused a little bit, so it's not still mitzurif. The bracha is still mitzurif for the food. You blow on it. That's not a hepsik. If you say a bracha and then, let's say I said a moitzi on the bread, then there was no salt. So the Gemara says later, if the bread doesn't taste good, you're supposed to put salt on it, or flavoring or something. So the guy says, havei melech. So then the Gemara says, that's not a hepsik. To say havei melech is not a hepsik because it's a tzorech achilah. Here also, if he blows on the food or he waits till it cools down a little bit, that wouldn't be a hepsik. More correct is you have to wait till it's ready to be eaten. But if you didn't, if you said the bracha earlier, so that wouldn't be a
sin. The klal of Torah Chassid applies even when I'm eating just a single davar b'fnei atzma.
Which klal?
A klal of Torah Chassid that I would interrupt to say Avlan Melech or with Shlit also, that the Tosu springs that I have from there. That would apply for an eating b'fnei atzma. Just for the food now, I would need to blow in it to make it cold. It's not actually
atzma. Right. Because I can't eat this food. I need it. I have to blow on it. I have to wait in order to eat this food. So, but yeah, but it wouldn't be absent. More correct is to take care of everything beforehand. To have salt and everything
beforehand. Doesn't even misgear of Seuda to say that, oh, now everything's going to be tall on the Zahra.
No, I don't think so. Even if you're eating a separate food, not in the misgear of the Seuda, also the same.
Does a pit is included in the Shir Kazayis?
I don't think so. You don't say bracha achrayna on the pit, no.
But isn't the mashma from the Gemara that the only reason it was batzrei really shiur is because it took away the pit? Mashma that the pit was
because the shiur kazayis is the volume of a whole olive with the pit. But if you swallow an olive with the pit, so you don't have a kazayis of olive, you only have a tzirif with the pit. So according to the Yerushalmi, that would be called a burial. But if you remove it, Bavli assumed that he removed the pit. Once you remove the pit, so it's not kibriyosa. And then Mimela doesn't have the volume of a kazayis, because the volume of kazayis is an olive with a pit. But if you eat, let's say, a whole bunch of pits, the guy's going to eat the kazayis, a volume of a kazayis of pits of an olive. Then you don't say a brachim before or after. That's not edible. It's not royal achila.
Doesn't Gemara seem to say, kivan de shakila legar legarine? The only reason you don't have the shear is because you took away the pit.
Correct.
If you didn't take away the pit.
No, then you would have had a volume of a kazayis, but you still wouldn't say a bracha achrayna unless you hold from the Yerushalmi a beria. The Gemara just says, if you took out the pit, you're lacking the volume of kazayis. If you would have had the pit, wouldn't make it any better either. You still wouldn't have a kazayis. But that's a big machlekes, yeah. There's a Mishnah later, we're going to have to learn this anyway. May as well start it out. Mishnah Mem Amud Beis. The last line in the Mishnah. Ha'ilafana minim harbei. The fellow has a lot of fruits on the table, and he wants to eat more than one. So Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, yesh b'nei min shiva olav humavarech. Let's say there are grapes and there are apples, and he wants to eat both grapes and apples. So you should say bari pihoetz on the grapes, not on the apples, because the grapes are from the shivas aminim, and the apples are not from the shivas aminim. Apples, oranges, pears, whatever. The Chachamim are, and the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Mavarach aleiz mem sheyirtze. What do you mean, aleiz mem sheyirtze? So the Gemara understands that means the Chaviv. He personally enjoys oranges. He needs vitamin C, whatever. Doesn't enjoy eating grapes or raisins. So let's say he wants to eat raisins, and he wants to eat oranges. And so the raisins are from the Shivas Aminim. And the oranges are machaviv. He enjoys oranges. He enjoys the flavor better. So that's a machlekes of Yudah in the Rabbana. Yudah says he say hoeitz on the minshiva. The Chacham says he say hoeitz on the one that's chaviv. So the Gemara says that's a big machlekes mem aleph amid aleph, five lines from the top. Ha'ilafan minim haber amarula. This machlekes in the Mishnah is only b'shibicha same shavos. It's the same bari pihoeitz on the grapes. And on the raisins and on the oranges, the same bar perhaps. So then it's a machlekes abud in the rabbanon. The rabbud is sov min shiva. If it's preferable to say the bar pihoetz on the grapes as opposed to the oranges, rabbanon savi min chaviv adiv. Preferable to say the bar pihoetz on the chaviv, whichever fruit he enjoys better, as opposed to the shivas hamin. Avol b'shem b'chasem shavois. This is quotes Rashi, the top line. Gigon, Snon Bezais is eating a radish which is Wadoma, and is eating an olive which is Aids. So then the Gemara says, Bracha Leiz and Emsha Yirtze. Since one bracha is Aids, one bracha is Wadoma, so there's no din which bracha has to be recited first. The Tanoim Aroni, and then the Gemara is going to disagree later, and they're going to pass like the Maskana. So the Gemara is interpreting the Machlekes HaTanoim like this. There is a din of Hida Mitzvah. Hida mitzvah means when you go to the store to buy a pair of tefillin, you should buy beautiful, fancy tefillin as opposed to a schlocky pair of tefillin that looks awful. Buy a talus. Don't buy a yellow, worn-out talus. Buy a beautiful, brand-new white talus. Even a talus zekel, a tefillin zekel, fine. There's a din of zekel v'anved. There's a din of hida mitzvah. So included in the din of hida mitzvah is that when one recites a bracha, barpi, who eats on fruits, and he plans to eat the raisins and the oranges. So, the bracha apparently is only chal on the first thing that he's going to eat. and the rest is mutar to eat without a bracha. Not that the bracha is chala and everything, but haraya, that after he swallows the first bit, if he talks, if he's mafzik in the bracha and the first bit of eating, then he has to repeat the bracha. If he's mafzik after the first swallow of the mashu, then it's permissible to talk. Why? The bracha is only chala on the first bit of food. So to recite a bracha is a mitzvah mid rabbanan, brichas hanenim. According to the Pnei Yeshua, maybe it's even a mitzvah and a Torah on the first daf. But we assume it's a mitzvah and the Rabbanim. That's why you say the Oinen is not allowed to perform any mitzvahs. So he's not permitted to recite even Birchas Hanen. Reciting Birchas Hanen is a mitzvah and the Rabbanim. So the Heftes Shal Mitzvah sounds a little funny. Just like Tefillin and Talis is a Heftes Shal Mitzvah. So the first bit of food that you're eating is the Heftes Shal Mitzvah with respect to the Bracha. The rest of the food that you're eating is Mutar B'li Bracha. But the Bracha is Chal on the first bit of food. So the first bit of food should be mehudar, hider mitzvah. So what's hider mitzvah? So you should always buy delicious food, okay? You shouldn't, if you have a choice, okay, you don't have to tell people that. If you have a choice of eating delicious food or schlocky food that doesn't taste good, so it tastes delicious, but fine. What if he's going to eat, grapes and oranges? So which one should he say who eats on first? And the bracha should be chal on that, on the first mashu that he eats, and the rest will be mutar b'li bracha. So that's a machlokes. How do you fulfill yehida mitzvah? So Rabbi Yehuda says, if one is min shiva, the other is not, mevarach amalin shiva. Alavu mevarach. Let him say who eats on the grapes, and the orange will be mutar b'li bracha. That's the yehida mitzvah. And the chachamim disagree, and they say no. They think if the orange is chaviv, so chaviv is more important than min shiva. That's how Ula presents it. If you have a toss-up of saying kibshe bichasem shavos, the same bracha, this is oitz and this is oitz, so the bracha is only chal on the first bit that you eat, and the rest is mutabali bracha baharaya, that you're allowed to be mafsik after you swallow the first bit. So it means bracha is not chal on it. So you should do a hida mitzvah, the cheftes shal mitzvah with respect to bichas anenin, is the first bit of food that you eat. That's what he's going to say later on the daf. There's a machlekes amaroi. Pligibor, we're right in the middle of the daf. Pligibor Abami, the line begins with the word Ami. Pligibor Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha, both from Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Ami, they had smicha. Bobel didn't have smicha, and Eretz Yisrael had smicha. Pligibor Rebbe Ami, Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha, and the Mishnah Charamar, like Ula says, Charam Machlekes b'shebichasem Shabbos. It's a Machlekes on the din of Hider Mitzvah. The first bit of food that you eat is what the Broch is Chala. Machlokes, how do you make hider mitzvah? Which is odif? Avav b'shem b'chasem shabbos d'brach mevarach hazeh v'chasem mevarach hazeh. You say who adam on one, who eats on the other. There is no seder kedim. It doesn't make a difference whether you say who eats first, they say who adam first. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. It doesn't make a difference. Tosis says the top Tosis avol a memal from an aleph. Take a look. The end of the top Tosis. The last eight lines. And Mashi Kasa the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, that if you have a fruit and a vegetable and you're planning on eating both, and you're not in the middle of a meal, you should first recite Bar Piruetz and then say Bar Priyadama, because Bar Piruetz is more mavuror. That's based on the Gemara that we're just about to learn. Allah Matesa Meralef, the Gemara says, if you have Huadama and a Shahako, so it's there's a Kedim over here. There's a Mishnah in Zvachim that says, Tore b'sheinah tore tore kodim, perakol atode. It says, Mekudish v'ena mekudish mekudish kodim. If you have two mitzvahs to perform, one is holier than the other. How do you determine which mitzvah is holier than the other? So the Mishnah happens to be talking about Kohanim who are makir karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So one balabas comes in with a karban oil and he says, please be makir mayol. The other one comes in with a shlamin. So the other is a kachi kachim, a shlamin is a kachi mekalim. So the Mishnah says, the kohen should grab, they both came about sachas. If one comes and he says, here's my shlamim, so fine. So the kohen starts being makir with the shlamim. Then in the middle, the other guy's going to come with an oila. So he says, ha'esek b'mitzvah, patam an ha'mitzvah. So let me finish first the shlamim. I'll get to the oila later. But let's say they both come simultaneously. This one with the shlamim, this one with an oila. So the oila is a kachi kachim, the shlamim is a kachim kal. So the Mishnah says, how should you arrange the two mitzvahs? Mekudosh, v'ene mekudosh, mekudosh kodim. You should do the more important mitzvah first. Or let's say a person has to recite two brachas. One bracha is a bracha deraisa. He has to fulfill two mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah deraisa and one is a mitzvah derabbanan. So Mustama, the mitzvah deraisa is more important than the mitzvah derabbanan. So Mustama, you should perform the mitzvah deraisa first. So So that's the kasha that the tzlach has. There's a Mishnah later in the 8th perek. Machlek is bishamei bisil. When you say kiddush and avdola, do you first say bar piyagof and then you say the kiddush and avdola? You first say the kiddush and avdola, then you say the bar piyagof. So the Yod Tzlach started this kasha that all Achranim discussed. Why isn't bishamei right? Why shouldn't you say first the kiddush and then the bar piyagof? And bar piyagof is only the rabbanon, and the kiddush is the hamitzvah min haTorah. So why don't you say that that's mekudesh veinah mekudesh mekudesh kodesh? You're interested in performing two mitzvahs right now. To recite Birchas Hanenem is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. To recite Kiddush is a mitzvah of the Torah. So why shouldn't you arrange it in the fashion of Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kod? So the Tzlach says, because most of the people already daven in shul, so the Yotzei Kiddush and Avdolah and the davening, so when they come home, the Kiddush and Avdolah is not going to be the Rabbanan, so they're both the Rabbanan. The Birchas Hanenem is only the Rabbanan, Kiddush and Avdolah is only the Rabbanan. Some people say Avdolah before the Dav Meir. What's going to be then? Is he going to change the din? So that's a discussion in the Tzlach and the later Yehuda, and later Achranim have that discussion. So here, the Gemara Lametesim and Aleph has such a din. You want to eat two foods. It doesn't make a difference, but you eat this food first and that food first. Let's say, they didn't wash for bread, so they didn't say Amoitz. So you're going to have to say Brach on everything that they eat. So the first thing that they're serving, the Chreis, is going to be ices. So the husband has an appetizer. So the husband's going to say, please, darling wife, instead of giving the ices, let me have some of the potatoes first. He wants to say bar pi adama first. So the Achranim say, no. There's a Seder Hadvarim. First comes the appetizer. And then comes the main course with the vegetables and so on. Then comes the dessert. The husband is not mechuyev to change the whole Sidrei Bereishis. He's not mechuyev to make his wife crazy that she should serve the main course and not that he should say Huadoma. Or let's say the dessert is going to be pineapple and pineapple is going to be Huadoma. So he says, first give me the dessert, Huadoma, and then I'll say Shahakol on the ices. So the Achranim on the Mishnayis later. So they say, if there's a Seder, the way the meal is served, so whatever comes first, you say the bracha first. But if they put on the plate two different foods, let's say they have chicken and they have cooked vegetables. So the chicken is shahakal and the vegetables is ha'adama. So which one do you say first? So the Gemara says you say ha'adama, even though he enjoys the chicken more than the vegetable. Let's say the vegetables are string beans or something that's not fattening. He doesn't enjoy that. And he enjoys only the fattening food. So he enjoys the chicken. The chicken is chaviv. And the vegetables are ha'adama and he does not enjoy the vegetables. So the din is it doesn't matter. Huadama comes before Shahakal. Why? That's Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodem. The Bracha Mefuretes is considered more chashuv than the Bracha Klavis. Shahakal is the Bracha Klavis and Huadama is the Bracha Mefuretes. So that's going to be the premise of the Gemara. No one's going to disagree with that. That's the premise of the Gemara Lametesim and Aleph. Whatever you're about, he's about to say two brachas, and it doesn't really matter whether he says on the chicken first or on the vegetables first. It's not out of order. If the ices come first, he already said shahakal before. So he's covered. So it's one shahakal covers the chicken also. But let's say no ices in the beginning of the meal. The meal begins with the chicken, with the vegetables. Then you've got to say huadama first. So here, Tosfos quotes from the Sefer, Halachas Gedolot, Samim Aleph and Aleph. What if the person starts off, he has a huadama in the ha'ayis, and there's no specific seder, which one has to come first? It's good the way it is. So should he say Hu'aitz before Ha'adamah? Because Hu'aitz is more Mefuretis than Ha'adamah. Ha'adamah versus Shahakol, that's a Gemara, Lametesim and Aleph. That's because Shahakol is a Bracha Klolis and Ha'adamah is a Bracha Mefuretis. But Hu'aitz and Ha'adamah are both Brachas Mefuretis, except that Hu'aitz is more Mefuretis. Hu'aitz only applies to fruits that grow on a tree. Ha'adamah can apply to vegetables and to fruits as well. But the Yevidim said Ha'adamah are fruits Yeyotzeh. So the Bahag says, based on the Gemara of Amitesim and Aleph, just like Ha'adama should precede her Eitz, that's like Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodem. So her Eitz has to precede Ha'adama also, because it's more Mefuretes. So Tosfos says that's a nice idea, but it's against the Gemara, against the beginning of the Gemara, because that the Gemara begins Mem Aleph and Aleph, Omar Ula. The only time it's a Machalek Zabir in the Rabban and the Mishnah is because they're fighting about Hidur Mitzvah. You're going to say her Eitz, and you're going to eat grapes and you're going to eat oranges. So should you say the ho'etz on the oranges, which is the chaviv, he enjoys the oranges better, or should you say ho'etz on the grapes? So that's the machlekes abiyun and the rabbanon. Is min shiva more of a hida mitzvah that should be used as a heftishal mitzvah, or is the chaviv a greater hida mitzvah? Aval b'shein b'chaseim Shabbos. If you're going to say ha'etzan ha'adama, the Gemara says there's no seder. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't matter what's min shiva. So Tosfos says, but according to the Bahag, ha'etz always has to precede ha'adama because the bracha yosem mefuretes. The Tosfos says the Bahag is clearly in contradiction to the Tiros Hasulya. Then he says what the Bahag said. Once you get to the Maskanas HaGemara, the Gemara says the second opinion. The first, the Gemara says there were two Amoraim, Pligi bar Rabami Rabbi Yitzchak Nava, right in the middle of the Acharam Machlek Bishabicha, same Shavois, the same Azula. And then the Machlek says in Hilchas Hida Mitzvah, which one makes? Because the Cheftah Shal Mitzvah is the first bit of food that you swallow. And the Acharam on the other Amora says no, Apishem Bichasem Shavos Nami Machlekes. So the Gemara said, "Bishleim al-man de'am mishipan ha'seim shavus machlekes." Shaper, I understand what the machlekes is. They're fighting the first bit of food that you eat. That's what the bracha is chala on. So that's the chefzah shal mitzvah. So you should make hider mitzvah. So which way is the hider mitzvah? To have a min shiva or to have a chaviv? Which one is more mehuda? That's the machlekes of Yudin the Rabbah. If you would only have a min shiva and a non min shiva, they're both equally chaviv. So everyone would agree that min shiva is other. If you have a chaviv and a non-chaviv and neither is min shiva, so the chaviv is other. What if it's a chaviv versus a min shiva? So which one is other from Easter? So that's a machlekes Abiyud and the Rabban. So we understand, according to Bishleim and Aman Yama, Bishab Bichasem Shavas machlekes, we understand what the issue of the machlekes is in Hilchas Hider Mitzvah. The food that you eat first is the Cheftishal Mitzvah, the bracha is only chal on that. And the shayla is, how do you accomplish the mitzvah? Ela leman diyama, ein b'chaseim shavus pligi. One is eitz, one is adam. So what are they fighting about? What's the machlekes? Gemara says, no. Machlekes is lahagdim. What's the issue of lahagdim? There's a rule of tarev shena tarev tarev kaidim. Mekudish and mekudish, mekudish kaidim. The mochashev mitzvah should be performed first, or the mochashev bracha should be recited first. So that's the machlekes. Which is the mochashev bracha? One is a min shiva, that's going to be hoetz. One is a chaviv that's going to be a ha'adoma. So then you have a machlekes. That's according to that. Then you have a machlekes of Yudin the Rabban. So Tosfos says once you get to the maskana, then it's shaykh to say like the Bahag said. But according to the Chilas Hasidim, according to Ula, Ula says b'shem b'chaseim shavois. One is eitz, one is ha'adoma. Then there's no issue at all. Then the halacha has nothing to say. So that's against the Bahag. Tosfos says the Bahag is only nit on the yama when you get to the maskana. So that's, then Tosfos has an Amud Beis. Tosfos has an Lamed Tes Amud Beis. He quoted the Sefta Perek Dalet. See the Tosfos, Aval Prusa Shalchit Mishleim Shal Sori. So the Tosfos quote, the Gemara in Tosfos quotes at the Sefta, they have a series of rules and regulations. Let's say a person wants to say Hamoitzi. And he has in front of him a Shleima and a Prusa. He can either say Hamoitzi and this, equally delicious. So the Gemara assumes it's a hida mitzvah to say the bracha on the shleima, because the bracha, the food that you eat, is considered the chefta shal mitzvah. And we say we make hida mitzvah, so it's preferable to say the bracha on the shleima as opposed to the prusa. Let's say they're all shleimas or they're all prusos, and you can either say hamotzi on a big challah or a small challah. So some are going to say hamotzi on a big challah is going to go to waste. So that's not in the running. So you put away the big challah in the freezer. You save it for next Shabbos when you're going to have guests. There's nobody here today. So it's not an option. But let's say you are going to have a lot of guests. So you're either going to say hamotzi on the big one or the small one. And you're going to eat everything. But which one should you eat first? Which one should the bracha go on? So then the Gemara says the gedola, the largest size is the hida mitzvah. What if you have one is larger than the other, but one is shlema? One is a prusa, large size, and one is a shlema. So Rabbi Natan learns that's the machlekes in the Gemara. Which one takes precedence? Or Tosfos quotes from the Tosefta. You have pas yisrael and you have pas akum. Pas akum is usually osir, unless it's pas palter. So it's mutter, but you're not supposed to eat pas palter if you can avoid it. And Shabbos and Yontav, the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't eat pas palter. So if you have pas palter and pas yisrael, and it's a toss-up, should I say hamotzi on this or on that, I'm going to eat both. But the first bit that you eat, that's what the bracha is chalat. So then the Tosef, the Perek Dalet, Tosfos Aval Prusa quotes that the Tosefta says, say the bracha on the Pas Yisroel. Or you have pumpernickel and you have Pas Gluskia. You have Pas Nikia, very clean white flour. Not as healthy. And the pumpernickel is whole wheat. It's healthier, but it doesn't taste as good. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't realize that was healthier. So it says, you say the bracha on the Gluskia Yofa. He said the bracha on the pas nekiyah, not on the pas kevon, on the one that looks black, on the pas shal balabayis. Or they give a whole list of things. One is chita, one is sora. They have two loaves of bread. One is chita, one is sora. So the Gemara says on the next daf, kol akoidim a pasik zeh, muktam lebruch, eretz chita, sora, gefen, etein, avrimen. That's the last 13 lines of mem, aleph, and all. So chita precedes sora. So chitim takes precedence. The Gemara says, if you have a pas chitim prusa and a pas sorim shlema, so the pas chitim prusa takes precedence over the pas. And it doesn't care which one he eats. As far as he's concerned, he can either eat this or that. And as far as his wife is concerned, also it doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara says, if it does make a difference, it's preferable to say the hamotzi over the pas chitim prusa as opposed to the pas sorim shlema. Because the chitim, the kedima of chitim to sorim, that kedima takes precedence over the maila of sholem, as opposed to chas. So the upshot of all of these dinim is, we have dinim, we consider the first bit of food that you eat, that's what the bracha is chala, and the rest of the food is mutter without a bracha. So that's why many Rishonim learned in this Yerushalmi, again, Allah Mitesam, and I'll tell you the story with the turmasa. The fellow said, Bar Pi Adama, the turmasa, he dropped it. He's going to eat a different turmasa. Yerushalmi says, he says another bracha, because he only had a mind this piece, he didn't have a mind yet. What if he had a mind to eat five turmasin? He was going to eat this one first, and he dropped it. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So we understand very well why many Rishonim say you still have to say another bracha. Because he only had in mind, the bracha is going to be chala on this turmasin. The rest are going to be mutam without a bracha. So since this one fell into the mud, and he can't retrieve it, fell down the drain, he's not going to eat it. So the bracha was never chala on the other turmasin. Shadis, we don't paskan like that. We don't pass like that. That's the problem. Why not? All the Gemara seem to say like that. All the Gemara seem to say like that. That the bracha is only chal on the first bit. That's why there's a din of kedima, mekudesh, veina, mekudesh, and pas palta, and pas yisrael, and pas chitim, and pas sorim, and shlema, and prusa, and gdolva, and ktana. All the dinim sound like that. The bracha is chal on the first bit. So we passing like the Ramo, Ashkenazim passing like the Ramo, that if he had a mind to eat more than the first turmaso, he does not say another broch. Okay? It's not a kasha, it's just we can understand the Mechabashit, we can understand the other Rishayim.
But, besides the Kedima, according to the Shitas HaMahan, if you would make the broch, according to Shitas HaTosos, where you wouldn't have it, you could make the Hadama before the Ha'etz. Wouldn't that be a problem? Once you
have
the hadama, wouldn't you cover the
haetz
already?
Yeah, that's where Rashi over there points out that not. The Mishnah that says if you set hadama on an apple, you yoytze, that's if I had an apple and I said hadama, but I said hadama on the potato chips, and then I want to eat the apple, so you say haetz on the apple. That's a machlokes, that's a din and achronim. What if he said hadama on the potatoes first, and he has in mind this hadama should cover haetz? Should cover the apple. He had that in mind. So if he says hadam on the apple, so that's what the Mishnah says, but he haven't yet yotze. But he said hadam on potatoes, and he wants this to cover haetz. So some achronim say it does not cover haetz. It only covers haetz if the alternative will be that'll be a bracha levatola. Then we say it's not a bracha levatola, yotze b'diav. But he said hadam on the potatoes, it's not a bracha levatola. Even though he had in mind this should cover the haetz, it doesn't cover. And other achronim say no, if that's what he had in mind explicitly, so it does cover. That's a deal in the Shagas Arya and the Shulchan Aruch. Shagas Arya disagrees with some of the Achronim there on this topic. Rashi HaMem Aleph and Men Aleph says about 8 lines from the topic. Afakaf Disnan Liel Daf Mem HaMen Aleph Bilcha Peres Ilan Bar Pi Adama Yotza Hanimili Bechad Mina V'Toh. He has an apple and he says Ho Adama Biruch Aleh Ho Adama Aval Tznon V'Zayis Biruch Aleh Tznon Lo Niftar HaZayis. That's the Shaila. Does Rashi mean even if you had a mind I want the Hadoma and the Tznon to cover the Zayis also? Oh no, he said Hadoma, the Hadoma should cover whatever is Hadoma. So the apple is, but the Ebed it's Hadoma, but Lachatchil is not supposed to be Hadoma. So maybe that's what Rashi means, the Pashtus. If he said Hadoma and the Tznon, he wants it to cover whatever other Hadomas. They're going to serve in the middle of the meal, he doesn't know what they have up their sleeve. But he didn't have a mind beferish that it should cover the Zayis. So then like Nifter HaZayis, but if he had a mind explicitly, that's not clear in Rashi. So that's the machlekes in the Achron. Yeah, so what happens again? This is the turmasa. The story with the turmasa. I remember once Rav Soloveitchik attended a bar mitzvah of his nephew in the Bronx in Rabbi Chalap's Rabbi Hollander Shul. So Rabbi Chalap, so Rabbi Gorelick used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva. So Rabbi Gorelick didn't ask Rabbi Soloveitchik permission, just printed in a newspaper, a Yiddish newspaper, Chacham Bolo here, that Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to give a drosh in his shul on Shabbos afternoon and now before Mincha. So it said in the newspaper, so he was stuck. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't want to make Rabbi Gorelick into a liar. So he gave a drosh in his shul. So the people were so, I remember it was Parshas Korach, he gave this knockout drosh on Parshas Korach. It was one of his famous drushes, printed, about the rebellion against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. So after he finished the drusha, maybe it was between Mincha and Marav, I think. The drusha was between Mincha and Marav. So I remember they made the Dav Marav, and then the Shamus and the Shul said Abdullah. And he was so nervous because Rabbi Soloveitchik was there. So in the middle of Abdullah, he said Bar Piagof, and then he put down the cup of wine, then he said Bar Minim Samber, and then he spilled the whole cup of wine on the floor, and he had to fill up the cup of wine again. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Turmasa, Turmasa. He didn't know what he was talking about, Turmasa. So he got to say another Bar Piagof, and he was so petrified. He spilled the wine because he was so scared of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Then he started screaming out, Turmasa. So he has to say another Bar Piagof. He didn't have a mind to drink a second cup of wine, that's for sure. The Chabad days, yeah. So Taisa says, they talk to Yerushalmi. In such a case, you got to say, Baruch Shem Kolei Malchusai, the Yoyal Mavoy. Whenever one says a Baruch Alamatola, why is that? Why does one say Baruch Shem Kvam Mechus Leonvoy? Okay, we'll have to start from this tomorrow. That's the meaning. When you say a bracha on the shalyad, there's a machlekes, but you say a bracha on the shalroish. That's the last tesis in Masechet Brachos. In the end of the Masechta. I think it's the last tesis. No, one of the last tesis. It is on Samach Amid Beis. Almost the last tesis in the Masechta. The last tesis on Samach Amid Beis. The Rashi's opinion is, Achlek Rashi and Abinatam. So Rashi holds that you don't say a bracha on the Shalrosh. If you weren't mafsik, Abinatam says, no, you always say two brachas. You say one bracha on the Shalyad, one bracha on the Shalrosh. Out of respect for Rashi, according to Rashi, the bracha on the Shalrosh is a bracha levatol. You shouldn't have said it. So the meaning is that you say Baruch Shem Kvam Mechus L'Yom Void. If they say the bracha on the Shalrosh, because according to Rashi, you just said a bracha levatol. We pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. It's not a bracha levatol. But out of respect for Rashi, so we say, so what does that help? What kind of an idea is that? After reciting a bracha levatol, what does it accomplish by saying Baruch Shem Kvam Mechus L'Yom Void? So we'll start from that tomorrow.